Good evening. Brother Matt has asked two different scriptures this evening. The first is taken from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. And then we'll turn to Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. 1 Kings 17, 1 to 16. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Go thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in the brooks of Cherith, that is in the Jordan, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and have commanded of the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt in the brook Cherith, and it was before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, and because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, and go get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came unto the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a curse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now turning to Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's kneel before him in prayer.
Good evening. Welcome to God's house this evening. I ask that you would continue to pray as we look into God's word. Pray that we would be strengthened and encouraged to continue on in this fight of life. It is my desire to speak the truth, and if I fail, I pray that someone would point that out to me. Matt Griggs, with his wife and an employee, farm in Tennessee. With corn harvest finished for 2020, Matt exited the stubbly field shorn of its corn. He pulled onto the blacktop of what was technically a two-lane road. But with the narrow width and absence of stripes, the road was essentially a skinny lane. A mile later in the low hills, Greg was almost dead center between crests, one 75 yards ahead and the other 75 yards to the rear. Simplified, Griggs was in a bull, and at the bottom of the dip, a culvert crossed the road. Although paved, the spot was uneven and peppered with gravel, rough as a cob. At 20 miles per hour in a 2012 Case IH 7120, weighing roughly 35,000 pounds, and equipped with a Case IH 3206 six-row corn header weighing approximately 4,000 pounds, Griggs hit the culvert patch and watched as the header jumped and the top bar bounced out of the feeder on the cradle house. In other words, the header came loose from the combine. In a split second, the header nose-flipped downward as the implement completely disconnected from the combine. It was just the right angle and right speed, and it caused my header to unlatch. Grig remembers looking back, I didn't have the header securely latched, although I had the hooks on the bottom engaged, but they weren't grabbing the bolts as securely as needed. A 3.5 high corn header turned upside down forms the shape of a launching ramp, even for a 20-foot combine. The dull tires, each 21 inches wide and 5 foot plus high, hit the inverted header ramp and shot the combine into the air, tossing the unbuckled Griggs from the driver's seat and into the ceiling. I never had a chance to hit the brakes, he recalls. The combine went into flight, and when the front wheels came down, it came down more on the left, and I started getting thrown from side to side inside the cab. I'd say I bounced 5 to 6 times before going through the windshield, which was 6 foot by 5 foot and 3/8 of an inch thick. I remember hitting the driver's door, then the right glass, then back to the left side of the steering wheel, and then going through the intact glass that broke when I went through. I can't remember nothing else. Incredibly, Griggs woke up in a heap of glass and blood on his belly, 10 foot in front of the feeder house of the combine. In a reverse image of Griggs' position, the header lay 10 feet directly behind the combine's back wheels. Wearing a t-shirt, jeans, and work boots, Griggs remained motionless on the ground for an estimated 30 seconds, gathering his breath and willing himself to rise from the pavement despite 4 broken ribs, a fractured L4 vertebrae in his back, lacerations across his arms and back, gashes on his head, and a heavy road rash. I had to do something, he recalls. I can still hear the noise behind me. The engine was going wide open. What happened to me was physically impossible to survive, insists Greg. Approximately 5 hours after bursting through the combine window and collapsing in daze at the road's edge, Griggs exited the hospital, stitched, patched, and wrapped, but nonetheless, a walking miracle. I survived because of the hand of God, and there's no doubt in my mind. From the moment of Griggs' ejection, he insists, the Case IH 7120 combine made an absolutely abrupt stop. No further propulsion, no skidding, no tipping over. To the point, Greg contends that even after surviving the initial accident, he should have been crushed to death by the massive combine tires. However, after clearing the header, the combine appeared to have hardly moved, according to Griggs. What happened to me was physically impossible to survive. I know 30,000 pounds of steel going 20 miles per hour can't stop on a dime. I survived because of the hand of God, and there's no doubt in my mind, says Griggs. My hand came off the hydro lever, which is the lever that you control the combine with. The further you push it forward, the further you push it front, the faster it goes. His hand came off that lever, and it was still pushed forward, Griggs continues. So what stopped the combine? It's all driven by computer wires and has no mechanical linkage. I'm talking about thousands of feet of wire throughout the combine, and all the wires were completely intact, not damaged, except for the wires going to the hydro lever. And those were completely severed, just like they had been cut. Literally, those were the only ones damaged. That combine should have kept going and rolled over me. He says, I got one answer. Jesus Christ. If you want to read the whole story, you can look it up on AgWeb, or you can Google combine accident in Tennessee, and you can read his whole story. There's a video or two you can watch if you're interested and listening or reading that whole story. My question is, what does an atheist say to that? The title of the message this evening is God is still in control and has all power. That might be a long title for a message. If you like shorter titles and big words, we could use the title, Our Omnipotent God. Omnipotent, having unlimited power, able to do anything. As we go through the message here this evening, we're going to look at some ways how we can rely on the power of God. Or maybe you could say some ways to increase our faith. 2020 has been interesting, challenging, frustrating. You put the word in there, what it has been to you. From the coronavirus to an election that has been quite different. In between and before and after, we have experienced things that we have never experienced before. From not having church like we normally do, trying to quarantine, try to have meetings online, not be able to visit like we normally would, wearing masks, which everyone loves doing, cleaning our hands more than ever. But let's not just focus on the negative things that we experienced in 2020. And this will lead us into our first point. As I was studying, I came across some points on how we can rely on the power of God. 2020 had some negative things, but let's look at the positive things of 2020. I'm sure we could all say we experienced some things that were positive. So point number one, we want to remember what God has done. Remember what he has done for us, for others, the miracles he has performed, whether they're the ones recorded in Scripture or they're the ones that we read about tonight with Matt Griggs from Tennessee. Psalms 105, 4-5 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." I came across four purposes of miracles in Scripture. The first one is to confirm that a particular messenger was from God. Secondly, to display God's divine power. Thirdly, to produce faith in unbelievers. And fourthly, to strengthen the faith of believers. Miracles that are recorded in Scripture, or miracles that we may see today, or maybe even just the way God has worked in our lives, in your life, answered prayer, these can all be encouragement to us and to others to keep the faith and to rely more on God and his power. I want to read some verses from Joshua. If you want to turn to Joshua 4, we're going to read a few verses. After the Israelites passed over the Jordan River on dry ground, Joshua called 12 men whom he had prepared to take a stone from the midst of the Jordan River and take them to the place that they were going to lodge. Why were they to do this? We're going to read in Joshua 4, verses 6 through 7, and also verses 21 through 24. Joshua 4, verse 6, "That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." And jumping down to verses 21 through 24, "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God, forever. George, this morning, not knowing what I was going to speak about tonight, made a comment towards the end of his message that kind of led into the thoughts of the message this evening. He said something like this. I probably won't have it word for word, but he made the comment, you know, what should we do now? Or what have we to do? And he said, we're to fear God and keep his commandments. Verse 24 there talks about that they might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Maybe sometimes we need to set up things in our lives to remind us of what God has done for us, so we can tell our children and also those around us what God has done in our lives. I've read about the purpose of miracles, to display God's divine power, to produce faith in unbelievers, to strengthen the faith of believers. You never know what your story might do for someone else, how God has worked in your life. Remember it and be willing to share it. As I said, 2020 had some negative things. I was talking to a salesman one day here, I believe it was just this week, and he kind of wished me a happy new year, and he made a mention, I don't remember exact words, but something along the lines about 2020, and I said, well, it wasn't all bad in 2020, and just to share an experience in my life, running from a bull is not an exciting thing for me. Maybe for some people, there are bullfighters, and there are clowns, I guess, that like to be charged by bulls. But the Lord protected me early this year while I was running from a bull. And that's not the thing you should do, run from a bull. I learned that when I was studying this lesson. I was doing some research on bull, people that are attacked by bulls, and what percentage. You know, not everybody survives an attack by a bull. Some were killed and some were injured. But that day that bull chased me did not take God by surprise. You know, he didn't look down and say, wow, I'm surprised he was as close to that feeder as he was, that he could get away. That's really something. But it took place where I had to run for a distance, and I was able to get around the feeder and in the feeder to get away from this bull. So I praise the Lord for safety in this year. Remembering God's promises in Scripture can help us to rely on his power as well. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to read a few verses out of Matthew. Matthew 28. Verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have here the Great Commission, and Jesus telling us that he is with us. He will be with us even unto the end of the world. Remember God's promises in Scripture. Whether you're facing a temptation, if you think you're all alone, and remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The second point I want to look at tonight, stop trusting in our own strength and abilities and turn our weaknesses over to the one who has all power. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. Talking about Paul here, about his thorn in the flesh. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Jesus' strength is made perfect in weakness. John 6, we have the account of feeding of the 5,000. I want to read some verses from that account in John chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. Thinking about the thought here, stop trusting in our own strength and abilities and turn them over to the one who has all power. John 6, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Humanly speaking, that food in the disciples' hands was not enough to feed the multitude. But when it is handed over to Jesus, he can take care of the rest. When we give Jesus what we have, he can take it and do more than we can ask or think. It kind of goes along with not trusting in our own strength and abilities, but we need to be obedient to what God tells us to do and act in faith. The lesson we heard from Brother Marshall this evening in 1 Kings 17, I won't reread those verses, but the woman in this account, she had a plan. She had a handful of meal, a little oil, and she was gathering sticks. She was going to make some bread. She was going to eat it. And I guess that was the end of her food, because she said, then they would die. Elijah said, "Fear not, do like you said, but make a cake for me first and bring it to me, and then make some for you and your son." Sounds a little selfish, but she went and did according to what Elijah said, and they all did eat many days. So I believe it is with us. We need to be ready to believe and be obedient and act in faith so that God's power can work. Thirdly, I want to look at prayer. Prayer is important as we learn to rely on the power of God. When we pray, I believe it is important to pray according to God's will. In other words, we ask that God's will would be done. The Lord's Prayer, as we have in Luke 11, verse 2, specifically says, Luke 11, verse 2, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." This point could also go along with the last point we looked at as far as giving up our own abilities, giving up our own strength over to the one who has all power. Because when we pray, "Thy will be done," in a sense, we are giving up our will and surrendering to God's will. I feel myself, when we pray not asking for God's will to be done, it can sound more like a demand to God. But we need to deny ourselves and surrender to God's will. Some verses that talk a little bit about denying ourselves. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So when you pray, "Thy will be done," think about what you are saying. I believe in a sense, we need to remember that we may need to surrender our will. God's will might not be our will might not be God's will. As we think about prayer being important, as we learn to rely on the power of God, I personally find myself praying in a lot of different circumstances. And maybe some people would think they're simple things, but I think it's good to be in an attitude of prayer. You know, if we find ourselves in a situation where we need help, why not cry out to the one who can help us, who has all power? Bring our requests and cares to God. And maybe not just our own cares or requests, but the needs of others. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, "To pray without ceasing." Philippians 4, I want to read two verses. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If we're all honest, I believe we would all say we'd like to see our prayers answered. And our prayers aren't always answered yes or no. Sometimes it might be wait. It may be yes, no. But it is encouraging when we see our prayers being answered. And I think it's also important, if we pray for something in particular and God answered, we need to make sure that we give God the glory and the praise. And I also think it's proper to share it with our children or others. Not to show what God has done for us, but to lift up his name, that God's name would be honored and glorified, and his power would be revealed to others. You know, praying to God is showing that we depend on him. We are relying on him. You know, God knows what we need before we even ask him. So why do we need to pray? I believe it shows to him that we depend on him, that we need him. We are helpless without him. So as I said, as we pray according to God's will, asking for God's will to be done, we may need to surrender our will, what we want, to God's perfect will. And it's, if we think about it, we can maybe all think of times when, you know, God's will is not, our will is not what God would have for us. You know, if it was my will, I'd still be farming with my dad. But that's not God's will. I need to surrender my will to him so that he can work through my life and also the lives of others. For God's power to be at work in our lives, we need to be surrendered to his will. I don't know what all of you have faced this past year. As I said, it was challenging, frustrating. I know some have lost loved ones. Some may have been diagnosed with cancer. Some might be fighting cancer. Maybe some lost their jobs. I don't know what each one has gone through this past year. I also don't know what you are facing right now. There may be some that are nervous about the future, maybe with their jobs, maybe with the new government that is coming in. I also don't know what we will face this coming year. But I want to encourage you and encourage myself to remember what God has done for you already. Remember what he has done for others. Remember the accounts in Scripture and the promises found there. They can be a great source of encouragement to us and to others. And don't be afraid to share your story with others. If God has done something great in your life, first of all, God has saved each one of us if you have named Jesus as your Savior. And that's something to talk about there. But if God has done some other miraculous work in your life, answer prayer. Don't be afraid to share it, because we have no idea whose life we are going to touch. I would also encourage you to stop trusting in your own strength, in my strength, in my abilities, and put our complete trust in the one who has all power. And thirdly, I want to encourage you to pray that God's will would be done in our lives, in the lives of others, and that might require us to surrender our will to his. So let's be faithful. Let's keep the faith. We don't know who is watching or following us, but we want to keep the faith as we enter a new year. May God bless you.
As Matt was speaking here tonight, my mind went back to the Sunday school lesson this morning. I'm really enjoying studying in Acts. And the advice that Gamaliel, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, gave there. He gave a couple accounts. He said there was an uprising where a man, there was 400 people that joined to this man, and he died, and it just dispersed. And there was another one where it drew much people, and these people got all together there, and he died, you know, and they dispersed as well. And now we have, I think in his mind he would say, now Jesus Christ, he's dead, you know, well, this will die out too. And the difference between those three uprisings was Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave. He rose again. Praise the Lord. Let's stand in prayer to that one that rose from the dead.